Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
I know I can lead men. I know the game of football, and I'm passionate about it. I spent 14 years in a locker room. I went to the playoffs 12 times. I got five dudes in the Hall of Fame that I play with. You don't think I've seen greatness?
Welcome back to 1% Better. This is Zach Kiefer, joined by James Boyd. 17-16 yesterday, the Colts lost in a very similar fashion to the Philadelphia Eagles. Really good team came into Lucas Oil Stadium. I thought the Colts should have won by double digits. I had the same feelings walking out of that stadium as I did about a month ago when they played the Washington Commanders. Very similar game. Defense got it done for the most part. Offense couldn't get it done. Defense gave up a late game drive to end it. James, 2 weeks into the Jeff Saturday experiment, the Colts are 4-6-1 on the season. It felt like some life left this team yesterday. That was my takeaway late in the locker room, talking to some of these veterans who are hurting, but also realize that this season has slipped away. What was your takeaway from yesterday?
Yeah, there's not too much more of the "we got all this time left" talk, because
yeah, less of that yesterday.
Yeah, they're all having to face reality and realizing that this season is going down the drain. And I think the one weird part about it is, like, they could still win a couple games this year, but then it doesn't really do anything for you or your franchise. So they're in this no man's land of, like, of course the players are never going to go out there and try to lose, but as a franchise, it doesn't help you much to win anymore. So I think the biggest takeaway I'll, you know, give is you can't, and I saw so much of this on social media and a little bit just throughout our media, is like, you can't give Jeff Saturday credit for beating a bad Raiders team and then also turn around and give him credit and say, oh, well, if this was Frank Reich, they would have got blown out or something like that. A loss is a loss. Doesn't matter, at least in my opinion. So I think that as much energy as you give to him for a win, you have to give that same energy back for losing the same way. And it's not his fault. I'll point that out. Like, it's not his fault. It's not Parks Frazier's fault. It's just a flawed team. And you wrote about that. Maybe you can expand more on it, but I mean, expand. We already know what the issues are. Like, can't block, you can't score, you can't win. And I felt like I was writing the same story. We talked about it after the game, like me, you, and Bob. It's like, how do we all write three stories that are gonna overlap, because we all know the same issues keep occurring, because this is the same team, no matter who the coach is, who the quarterback is, who the play caller is, it's the same team.
Yeah, that's well said. You know, that's just sort of what I wrote is this team took some drastic measures in the middle of a season, things they've never done before, right? I mean, early October through last week was unprecedented for this team. They changed the head coach. They changed the offensive coordinator. They changed the starting quarterback twice. They changed the play caller. They traded a running back. Those are all things they did to get better in the short term, right? Panic moves, in a sense. But at this league, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you can't do these things. If you can't protect your quarterback, if you can't rush the passer when you need to, And if you can't score in the red zone, you're going to lose a lot of games like the Colts have won this lost this year. And that's where they're at. That's who they are. And I think it was really obvious to me staying in the locker room late yesterday and seeing DeForest Buckner, who for a while didn't even move. He was just staring at the ground. And Stephon Gilmore was much of the same. And Kenny Moore was one of the last guys in there. And I know you were in the locker room as well, James. Like, these guys care, man. Like, this is hard for them because, especially those guys on defense, and you've written this 50 times. Yeah. Like, I know the defense gave up the game-winning drive at the end, and I know that Jalen Hurts, you know, had the C's parted and he ran right in the end zone. But at what point does the defense just say, man, like, we did our job this year? They're sixth in EPA on defense without their best player in Shaq Leonard, without their turnover machine. And the shame of it is the Colts' flaws are fatal. And that's what I wrote. Like, their flaw at left tackle is a fatal flaw this season.
Yeah, it is.
And right guard, and Kravitz was joking about this, but how many times has a season been undone, been sabotaged by a left tackle and a right guard? But it really feels like this one has, and they're not going to overcome that. And I'm not blaming Jeff Saturday for 1 minute about this. And I'm not blaming Parks Frazier either, because they walked into this situation and there's no miracle fix. There's no magic touch that they can have. It's great that they went to Las Vegas and beat a mess of a Las Vegas Raiders team. Great. That was fun. They won in the last second. Those guys deserve that. They haven't quit. But when you play a team like the Eagles and you do everything right for most of the game to put yourself in a position to win, and then you miss a kick, and then you can't protect, and then you can't finish from the 5 yard line, for God's sakes, after a great play call and a great catch from Paris Campbell, that's who you are. And that's what this season's been about. And I think the biggest regret is they have a lot of talent on this team and they've done a lot of good things this year, but all of it will be undone because of these fatal flaws that they have. And those were mistakes that were made in the offseason.
Yes. And again, to clarify, you know, like I said, you can't give, at least in my opinion, I feel like you couldn't give too much praise to Jeff Saturday for the win. And you can't, you know, turn around and say, hey, well, yeah, we played better. It's like, no.
This,
like,
is still the Colts. I'm with you on that.
I do think that more or less the outcome would have been the same. Now you can talk about point spreads and stuff like that, but a win against the Raiders is always going to be possible no matter the coach. A loss against the Eagles is probably always going to be inevitable no matter the coach. What stings differently, though, and what I talked to Zaire Franklin about was this time was different because they weren't trying to claw their way back. They were winning the entire time. And so that to me feels probably heavier. It's like, man, like, we can't do this. We really cannot find a way to win these close ones. And here's my stat of the season. You know, they have 6 games with 1 touchdown or less. 6 out of 11.
That's everything. That is,
and they're 1-5 in those games. That's 1-5 in those games. The one win was the 12-9 barn burner, or whatever you call it, that we witnessed in Denver.
That was a complete anomaly. We knew it that night.
And guess who's the Colts are the second worst offense in the league. And then guess who has the worst? The Broncos, who are 3-7. And so obviously, if you don't score points, you can't win. And it felt like, and Paris Campbell's probably one of the most honest guys in the locker room. I'm not saying any of the other guys are dishonest, but he's just more open about it. He's like, man, we just got to get 6. We keep getting 3. He's like, field goals are going to win some games in this league, but he's like, they're not going to win very many. And that's an honest answer. Like, yes, a field goal, like at the end, you know, if you're just trying to tack on an extra point or something like that, or extra few points to get a walk-off win, yes, field goals are huge in this league. But if you're trying to win consistently by just chipping field goals, it's not. And we felt like, you know, actually you were sitting next to me, we were talking about it. They get down to the 5 and it's like, all right, like they punch it in here. They're probably walking out of here with one of the biggest wins of the season. You know, probably the biggest one of the season.
Then they have wins over the Chiefs and the Eagles, which
exactly
makes about 0 sense. But let's go back to that, right? That's when I thought the Colts were going to win this game. Talked to Alec Pierce afterward. He's like, what do we end up with, 16 points? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, that's asking too much of the defense. We got to score more points. I'm like, Alec, how many times have you told me that this season? He's like, a lot. So they get down to the 5. I thought it was a great play call. It was a great catch by Paris. They get down to the 5, first and goal. They score a touchdown there. It's a 2-score game with 5 minutes left. That's pretty much ball game. You don't want to say it's over in this league, but that's pretty much ball game. That's what Jeff Saturday was thinking. They ran JT. He got no yards. They threw it. They got nothing. The line, the interior of the line just got owned. I mean, the Eagles signed guys off the street last week. And these are guys, Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh, whose reputation precedes them. They're very good players. They're not just random guys you pick up off the street. But the fact that they were able to do this in 3 days and play and have that kind of impact, that's alarming. And that speaks to the bigger problem the Colts have. Everything. It's just crazy how everything goes back to this offensive line, in my opinion. And they got nothing on those first two downs. And what happened on third down? They lost 14 yards because Bernard Raymond got beat by Hassan Reddick on the edge. And they force, you know, they're forced to take a field goal and they're forced to leave the door open. And what do good teams do? They step right through that door. And I wrote about DeForest Buckner and what he said about the last play, the touchdown run from Jalen Hurts. But to go back to the Colts issues, I've never seen a season sabotaged this badly by offensive line play. And I've covered some bad offensive lines before in my time, but this team has no chance. JT has nowhere to go. And it's not like they don't have talent on offense. Like, it's not like Paris Campbell hasn't taken a step forward and Alec Pierce has shown something and Pittman and JT looked like JT for parts of yesterday, but Matt Ryan didn't really have a whole lot to work with in terms of time. And they're trying to throw the ball quick and they just kept leaving the door open. And it's just the same story every week. These guys are tired of saying it. We're tired of writing about it. You guys out there are tired of watching it, but this is who they are. And at this point, as hard as this is to accept for them, they just need to find a way into the top 10 of the draft because this is not going towards the playoffs at all. I think yesterday fully confirmed what we already knew.
Yeah, they just can't score enough to win. And I believe they played a fairly clean game. One thing I do want to mention, and shout out to Chap, who's always got the stats. JT lost his third fumble of the season, which is tied for the league high. And Matt Ryan's also got three lost fumbles, which was before he returned to the starting lineup. But JT's not, you know, absolved from this because he had a catastrophic turnover yesterday. And the only reason it wasn't talked about more
Zaire.
It's because Zaire Franklin, like, you know, basically forced a fumble, I believe, three plays later on A.J. Brown. But, yeah, I asked JT about it after the game. He's always the last one out. And, you know, typical JT answer, you know, just got to get down there, got to take care of the football. But it's those mistakes compounded with not being able to punch it in that, you know, just make it even harder on a defense that has to play perfect. You know, I'm talking to Grover Stewart after the game and, again, he's probably the most matter-of-fact, easygoing guy. And, you know, just stopped him on his way out, and he's probably the nicest big guy that I would ever stop on his way out of the locker room because some guys would be like, get out of my way. But he's, I asked him about the play with the, you know, fumble recovery, and he's like, man, I just had to get the ball. And then I'm like, okay, but defense, do you all feel like, you know, how hard is it to kind of carry this? And he's just like, you know what? And this, you know, Southern accent, you know, got to do more. If we, you know, get more turnovers, we win the game. If we get more stops, we win the game. And I'm like, you know what, Grover Stewart, you're a great teammate because even if I didn't say that, I probably wouldn't have, like, you know, went as far as say we got to do more. I would have been like, you know, hey, we're a struggling team. We, you know, three phases got to come together. Like, I don't know, because I was thinking to myself, like, how much more can you do when you hold the third highest, you know, rated offense in the league coming in as far as points, and I think it was over 27 points a game, so a season low 17, and you still lose. And fittingly, and to your point, and to your story, and Bob's as well, it's like it was deja vu, literally, because the last time they were at Lucas Oil, they lost 17-16. They had a different head coach, you know, different play caller, different quarterback in there, and it was the same thing. So I know the defense is kicking themselves for giving up that last drive, as they should. I don't think you obviously should let a team go 75 yards. But, I mean, yeah, if you punch one of these turnovers, you turn one of these turnovers into a touchdown, you give yourself some cushion, maybe the outcome is different. And then, obviously, Chase McLaughlin had a missed 50-yard field goal. I'm not killing him for that. I do think, you know, you'd love for him to make every single field goal.
That might be the game.
But – yeah, it's just those types of things. And Matt Ryan mentioned it. I asked him about it after the game. I was like, man, he's talking about the margin of error. He's like, the margin of error against great teams is very, very small. And I kind of flipped the question on him. And I'm thinking, I asked, okay, well, what's the margin for error for this offense? Because in my eyes, in everyone's eyes, it's not good. You know, you're facing, yeah, you face a great team today, but overall, your team hasn't been good. And he's like, it comes on execution. It can be boring, but we have to execute. We have to be better. And it's like, yeah, we know. And I told you this earlier in the season. I feel more convicted, I guess, about it now. They're just not good enough. They're going to tell us all the right things as they should. They're going to say they have to correct some things. They're going to say that they have, you know, correctable mistakes. They really don't. Because at this point, you would have done it. They're just not good enough to do it. And again, no fault of Jeff Saturday. No fault of Parks Frazier. No fault of the defense. It's just a team that has looked flawed from the beginning. Like in week one against Houston, they looked like this.
Yeah.
And then here we are, you know, after, what is it, week 11, and they're still that same team. Now, none of us probably could have predicted that at the time, but, yeah, looking back, hindsight is 2020, and this team is just a really mediocre, I wouldn't even say mediocre, just a subpar team.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
You told me at the start of Sunday that they're going to score a touchdown on the opening drive. The first time they've done that. First time they've scored points on the opening drive since Christmas. So there you go. Checked one off the box.
Yeah.
For you as a beat writer. First time you've seen opening drive points. Great drive to start. They got Pittman on a third down. They got JT busted one. They finished. 7-0. They had a halftime lead for the second time this season following last week in Las Vegas. And that's a good point you make. They did this in a different way. They weren't coming from behind. They weren't having to play perfect the rest of the game. But here's the stat that jumps out at me. 6 trips inside the Eagles 35, 1 touchdown. 6 trips inside the 35, wow. 1 touchdown. Your defense held the Eagles to, like what you mentioned, the lowest points they've scored all season. They came in averaging 28, and they're really good. Like, you could see the makings of a great offense yesterday. They scored just 17 yesterday. And the Colts still can't find a way to score more than 16 points. They missed one kick, but really it's just that red zone and, you know, red zone extended inefficiency. It's just a bad team. Like you said, they get owned up front more often than not. They can't get anywhere to go for the running back. The quarterback is still limited, right? Like mm-hmm. we went to Sam Ehlinger. We came back to Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan is still limited. He's still a 37-year-old quarterback who for the most part can't move and has to get the ball out quick. I still believe he gives them a better chance to win than Sam Ehlinger, but he's still limited and they still cannot protect him. They went back to 4 sacks yesterday. James, you know how many sacks they've given up this season through 11 games? 40 sacks.
Oh my goodness.
That is how you lose games in this league unless you have a Lamar or a Jalen Hurts or Patrick Mahomes who did it again last night against the Chargers late. But all right, 5 games to go, 6 games to go. I lost track somewhere. They've got a tough schedule coming up. They do have the Steelers on Monday night at Lucas Oil. The Steelers are not good. Let's assume the Colts play well. They could probably win that one. But then it gets really tough. They've got Dallas. They've got the bye. They've got Minnesota. They've got the LA Chargers. I keep wanting to say San Diego. They've got the Giants. I mean, is this just going to keep repeating itself the rest of the way? What do they win? 2 of these final 6, 5?
Yeah, I would say, because I had them after Jeff Saturday took over at 5-11-1. So, you know, they got their one going against the Raiders. They could probably get one or two more.
Got Houston in week 18.
Yeah, and it is a fluky season. Like, they could probably win a game they're not supposed to and then lose a game they're, you know,
they
supposed
could beat
to win.
The Giants. They could beat the Chargers.
Yeah, or something like that. However, I just – it doesn't change much. Again, it just feels like if you win a couple, lose a couple, and just kind of float around that win-loss, outcome every week, it just feels like, you know, you're going to be in that no man's land of not being high enough to really draft a – franchise changing quarterback, but then also having to face the music of Matt Ryan's not getting any younger. Our team is still pretty flawed. What do we do from here? So I think a lot of this back half of the season will determine just the direction of this team and how quickly they move in that direction. Because let's be honest, this was, we kind of knew after Matt Ryan took a bunch of hits and was fumbling and stuff like that, like, there's no way they can bring him back and, like, actually have him start for next season. I'm not saying it's
I think everything's on the table.
Yeah,
I
just think that
anything out. And I don't think that's a good thing.
I was just going to say that, like, I'm not saying it's impossible for him not to be like,
we have seen the impossible happen in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah,
so
but I'm just saying it would not behoove the franchise. I'll put it like that. So, I don't know, man. It's tough. It was, again, a very weird locker room just from the standpoint of, like, this didn't feel like, and I know Yannick Ngakoue mentioned it. He's like, you know, if we were able to put this one on paper, we had beat the Chiefs, beat the Eagles. You feel differently. They're 500 on the season. They're probably, what, they'd be 5-5-1 if they had won yesterday.
It's different if they beat the Eagles. Yeah, Jeff Saturday's 2-0.
But
it's different.
Yeah, but no, he and I didn't put it in my story, but Yannick, you know, he walks out of the locker room and he's talking. I believe some security guard, and he's like, man, dude, I played my effing heart out today. Like,
he did.
You know, it just wasn't enough. And that's why I wanted to mention him, and as well as Brandon Faison, because Faison, you know, he was getting ripped by the fans, ripped by the media.
He played bad.
And rightfully so. He was not playing well at all. They cut his snaps down after the week three. And, you know, he had still had limited action yesterday, but in his limited action, he had some really big plays. You know, he stopped Devontae Smith on a deep ball. He had a second down stop after a 1 yard gain in the third quarter. Then on the very next play, he had another, like, you know, blanket coverage on Devontae Smith. And so he had key plays, and it just seems like, okay, they had a guy step up who normally doesn't, and you still wasted it. And so it wasn't the usual Gilmore trying to save the day. And we talked about that as well. It was like, all right, like, is Gilly going to have to save the day?
I thought it was going to be number four game-winning pass breaker.
Oh, my gosh. It's insane. I mean, Roddy McLeod had a pretty big day yesterday as well.
He's a stud. That's for me, is the shame of this is the defense has had Shaq Leonard, their best player, for 74 snaps all season. Hasn't been a factor except for that one interception that came right to him. And I wrote this last night, lost amid this lost season is the dominance of Grover Stewart, the reliability of Bobby Okereke, the ascension of Zaire Franklin, the grit of Buckner, who's playing with that bionic arm thing, which can't be comfortable.
Right.
And Gilmore, who's been a Pro Bowl corner, in my opinion. And all of that, like you said, in addition to, Ngakoue had a great day yesterday. Brandon Faison, you know, he took a lot of heat. He deserves credit when he plays well. The problem is they're asked to play perfect, and they're not a historically great defense, and they're not able to do that. And they're just wasting these seasons of these guys. And like, these would be great stories if this team was better on offense. Zaire Franklin, the way he showed up and stepped in and really done a great job replacing Shaq Leonard and Bobby Okereke and Grove and Buck. Like, it's lost amid the clutter of this chaotic season that's been undone by an offense that can't score more than 15 points a game every single week. So that's a shame, because they've got a lot of talent in different spots on this roster, and they got a lot of guys who are playing really freaking hard. And that was my sense late in the locker room yesterday, was just like, I know I keep hearing tanking, and like, I keep hearing like these guys they're mailing it in. It's like, no, like, if you would see this, you would see what I see. Like Buckner could barely speak yesterday after the game. He was so ticked off. Like, it's just breaking these guys down, that they're giving it everything they have, and they're coming up short the same way every single week. So we'll see what happens the rest of the way. But Gilmore and Buckner especially stood out to me yesterday. Just how much of a toll this has taken on them.
Absolutely. I mean, I saw the same things that you saw. A lot of people just sitting there kind of staring off into the abyss is kind of how I would phrase it. You know, even Matt Ryan, you know, you ask him a question about the offense and he's got to think, you know, how do I respectfully say that we're not doing our job, you know? So one thing I will say, though, is that, and I don't know if you deserve credit for it as much as you, you know, I'll say that. He's owned it every single time, right? And I bring this up because maybe Zach Wilson on a tangent should maybe take a page out of the Matt Ryan book,
right?
And just say,
didn't like if that you don't, answer from him yesterday.
Yeah, if you don't score, you know, you don't just, you know, duck and hide and say, no, it's not our fault. Like, they own it. They know. And much like us, they're probably sick of having to say the same things to a defense that is giving them a chance to win in the NFL. Like, I get it. Like, in theory, you can always do more. In theory, like, the best defense is a shutout. But it's just not going to happen in the NFL when you're playing against guys. And that's what Paris Campbell pointed out. He's like, man, those guys are good too. Like, all these guys are good. And so it feels like this one, you kind of get off the Jeff Saturday high, the, you know, controversy, so to speak, of hiring him or whatever. And at this point, you just look at what you have, what's transpired, and realize that nothing changes as much as it stays the same or vice versa. It's just, this is a middling team. And obviously for Nick Sirianni on the other side, he was pretty happy about the win and pretty hyped up.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, any of you who saw that clip on social media, you know, he got a little feisty there at the end. Like, we're leaving Indy with a win, because he was obviously kind of upset about things that happened with Frank Reich, how much he respects him. But I mean, and I get it. Like, he's always going to be spicy about things like that. However, if Frank Reich was here, it probably still was going to be a loss.
Maybe the Colts have the same issues under Frank Reich, and we talked a lot about those. And
yeah, maybe it's more like, you know, sentimental for Sirianni, but I wouldn't put too much energy into that.
He doesn't have his job right now without Frank. And, you know, I had an interesting conversation with Sam Ehlinger yesterday, who obviously didn't play. But, and I was like, are you guys just getting tired of these tight games? Like, and Sam's like, you know, if you think about it, we've only had two games where we got beat. Jacksonville early, New England late. And Sam obviously was part of the problem in New England, but he said, in all of those other close losses, it feels like we beat ourselves. We've been saying
that.
The players have been saying that. And the fans know that. But this is the problem is, you know, it's not an anomaly if it happens eight times. So, you know, this is a team that can't finish in the red zone, that turns the ball over too much, that can't step on the throats. That was the key quote from Stephon Gilmore. He's like, and this dude knows. He knows how to win in this league. He knows how to win big games, Super Bowls. He's like, he was pissed. He was like, look, man. He's like, we should have stepped on their throat, and we didn't. And that's what it came down to. And they had a couple chances, but the most damning was the one late where they had it on the five-yard line, first and goal, able to make it a two-score game. And the Colts did what the Colts do. They failed. They failed in a big moment. And that's where they're at. And that's really disappointing, because I feel like there's a lot that's being overshadowed this season of good. But all we're going to talk about as we move into the offseason is how do they fix these flaws that have hamstrung them so badly this season?
Yeah, and I want to mention, to your point, these flaws. You know, after Philadelphia scored the go-ahead touchdown on the Jalen Hurts QB draw or whatever it was, the ensuing Colts drive really revealed, like, okay, this is the same team.
Didn't go well.
The protections were terrible. And I get it. Like, the Eagles don't score if Zaire Franklin doesn't have, like, a 39-yard pass interference penalty. And Buck, as he said, like, isn't the only guy in the building that doesn't know it's a QB draw or whatever. Like, I get all that. But the ensuing drive, they still have plenty of time to get within field goal range.
Yeah, they did.
And score. But it just felt like, all right, like, this charade or mask or this, you know, makeup we can kind of put on this thing, it all just came loose on that last drive. And we were looking like, okay, this is the team that we're kind of used to seeing. Can't block, makes a good play, but then makes three bad ones in a row. You know, and just doesn't really have a chance to get anything done. And then you look up, again, a 17-16 loss at home, the second straight one at home like that. And, yeah, man, that last drive, though, I was like, wow. For a split second there, they might have had a chance to do something. I think they got around to the 50-yard line.
Almost.
Yeah. And then after that, they just went into reverse, and then it was over. So, yeah, man, it feels like this season is what it is at this point. There's no masking it. There's no amount of coaching changes, quarterback changes. There's nothing else really to do to jumpstart or galvanize or reinvigorate this group, because everyone knows, even if they don't say it outwardly, everyone knows this season is, as my sister would say, OVA, over. Because, I mean, what else do you have left? Unless they miraculously went out or something, which is not going to happen.
No.
It just feels like they're going to win a couple games, be respectable. I don't think they're going to, like, come out here and just get blown out all of a sudden, because they haven't really been getting blown out all year. However, I think that there's going to be just a repeat of, you know, maybe a couple of close wins, some close losses, and you look up and, you know, you got 6 wins or you got 5 wins or something like that. Even if you have 7, I don't think you make the playoffs. But, yeah, it's tough. And it also doesn't help that, you know, the team, the Tennessee Titans, for whatever reason, find a way to win these games. And so that doesn't help your chances of – you know how it is. Like, when you start slipping, you need help from others. They're not getting it.
They don't deserve help right now. But I got so a that's couple what we're things –
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Yeah, like, I had a couple interesting conversations I'll share that are kind of pertinent towards what this team is dealing with right now and then moving forward before we wrap this up. You know, I was talking to a scout yesterday before the game, and he's like, you know, everyone forgets, like, we got a lot of talent on this roster. And I'm like, yeah, like, you can hang with Philly. Like, you've got players if they step up. And talking to another coach, he said, I got a really good feeling about today. This is before the game. And I said, why? And he said, because we had our best week of practice all year. And I said, okay, we'll see. And they played, man. And this was the question in the back of my mind. Like, they came out, they scored that touchdown early. They had the halftime lead. I do think Jeff Saturday has had a positive impact on the mental makeup, the attitude, the juice, whatever you want to say, whatever those intangible sports cliches we lean on. I think they are playing for Jeff Saturday. I think he's a good dude. We'll get into whether he's the coach in the future. But my question in the back of my mind was, how long will that last? Because at the end of the day, it's going to come down to what? What's the key word? Execution. That's what they talked about in the locker room. It's going to come down to execution. And that's where they have consistently failed this year. And I was talking to an NFL scout who's not with the Colts late last night. And I was like, what are they going to have to do to get one of these stud quarterbacks that are coming out? And he said, they're going to have to be in the top 10. You're going to have to be in the top 10. I could be wrong, but I don't think they're in the top 10 right now. I really don't think they are. Maybe they lose some games and climb in. Maybe they have to trade in. But at this point, James, doesn't it feel like all that matters is just getting into this offseason and correcting the wrongs that have plagued you all year?
Yeah, there's going to be some hard looks probably at contracts, who to re-sign, who to trade, who to move.
I think there should be. I think you need to stop thinking the way you've thought the last couple of years. I think you need to completely rethink how you built this roster, what you value, and I think a new approach is needed.
Absolutely, and We'll hear more about this as the season goes on. Obviously, we didn't hear from Jim Irsay yesterday, just because it's quite frankly a little bit easier to talk, you know, after you get that first Jeff Saturday win. But when you face the Eagles and you lose another heartbreaker, I'm sure he was just as sick as the players.
He doesn't talk after home games usually. I will say that, to be fair, he doesn't usually talk after home games. We have a much better chance on road games, for the record.
Oh, nice. Well, in that case, maybe, you know, they go on the road and upset, you know, Dallas or something like that. But
now, if they upset Dallas, he's going to be talking right away, just so you know. Get down there early.
But my point is, like, you know, Jim, you can give your opinions about, you know, his decision-making this season, the stuff that he mandated, whatever, whatever. But there's, I mean, he's probably just as heartbroken as anybody else as far as just how the season has gone, because I don't think anybody could have envisioned it going like this. You know, we were in training camp out there in Westfield, kind of watching things unfold. Of course, we knew adversity was going to come. And I told you that, you know, as the young reporter, I'm like, man, I'm waiting for the fluff to kind of fall away and to kind of see where we're at. But this is crystal clear at this point. Struggling team that can't score with a pretty good defense. And even when they do get takeaways, they had two yesterday, it doesn't matter. Because to me now, and I put it in my story, I was like, unless they get the takeaways and just run them back for touchdowns.
I know. You need the
defense just doesn't
to
matter.
Score. That's
yeah.
the sad part.
And so, I mean, it's added to the list of things that they have to do. But, yeah, I mean, we'll see how the season plays out the rest of the way. But, obviously, it's going to really weigh on these veteran guys, because they know, like, it's less in front of them than what's behind them. And they don't want to waste these seasons. I mean, Buck has been phenomenal this year. Gilmore has looked phenomenal. He's won, you know, three games for him this year. So, and might have could have won a fourth if it wasn't for a spectacular play by Terry McLaurin against the Commanders. So,
yeah.
These are the pains of a team that is going to have to just retool. Not even retool. They're going to just rebuild, honestly. That's kind of how I look at it. Like, if you're going to try to find your way into the top 10, whether you're drafting there or trading up to get there, if you're doing that, just go ahead and reevaluate the entire thing, because there's no point in trying to keep any of this stuff together with aging players, big contracts. All this stuff needs to be looked at, and you kind of have to face the music. And I know Jim Irsay was saying we're not tanking or whatever. You don't have to intentionally do it. They're just not good enough to win consistently. So by default, you're probably tanking just because you're one of the worst teams in the league. That's kind of how I look at it. Like, the only reason they're not worse is because of their defense. But when you are averaging 15.7 points, you're not going to win very many football games at all in the NFL. If you cannot, you know, get in the end zone more than once in games, you're not going to win very much in the NFL. So, you know, same old story. That's kind of how we felt afterwards. We're writing our story. It's like, all right, Zach, like, what's your angle? James, what's your angle?
Same as it was a month ago.
Exactly. So it wasn't that hard to choose, but it was kind of difficult to kind of figure out, all right, like, where do we even go? What do we even say? Because you all know, we know, it took a genius to figure out, you know, what's going on. And I guess to steal a line from Jim Irsay, you know, we're not building rockets to go to Mars. We just know that they're a struggling team.
Six games with one touchdown or less. That is the most damning statistic of this season for me. And now it gets real for Jeff Saturday. He comes in obviously with a new coach. Usually there's some added juice, right? There's a new voice in the room. Jeff Saturday commands respect and deserves respect, and he got it, and they responded to him. I think their play has been a little bit better the last 2 weeks, certainly better than it was against New England, but now it gets real. And this is where you probably miss the fact that he's not a veteran coach and he hasn't been through this before. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's not, but again, Jeff Saturday is not a miracle worker, and he was not going to be brought in to fix this offense. Like, it was never going to happen. These flaws are inherent. They're not going anywhere. Anthony Costanzo is not just going to roll out of bed and be the Colts' left tackle next week and be perfect for 75 snaps against the Steelers. So they're going nowhere because these flaws are going nowhere. And that's the sad part, as we talked about with the defense and a lot of noble efforts from some guys. It's a poorly constructed team with talent that's being sabotaged by some mistakes. And
let's add this in. Chris Ballard, he's not absolved from this either. Like, he's going to have to face the music as well. Because he built this team. He bet on, you know, the left tackle position being played by someone who hadn't played it. He bet on inexperience. He bet on a bunch of guys stepping up on that unit and all of them getting it at the same time, which did not happen. And Bob mentioned that in his column. So I don't want to, you know, I know we're kind of tacking it on here late at the end, but, you know, getting it in before the buzzer. But he definitely is going to have to look in the mirror. And honestly, Jim Irsay and the franchise are going to look at, okay, do we keep him around as well? I know he mentioned to us in the press conference that, you know, he's still here. He's our guy, you know, whatever, whatever. That all sounds good until you start losing games and you realize a lot of the reason you're losing these games is because your team isn't built to win in the modern NFL. So yeah, that's one guy I definitely think cannot, you know, I guess escape, you know, the criticism. If we're going to criticize a lot of other things that have happened with this team, we keep talking about the way the team is flawed. It's flawed in large part because you built it that way.
Absolutely. And the music's going to come. The music will come in January after this is mercifully over. And Chris Ballard is going to have to answer questions. And he was a little combative, a little feisty with us the last time we got to talk to him, which was the night Jeff Saturday was hired, which was not a move he wanted to make. So absolutely, that's going to come. That's going to come. And Jim Irsay is going to have to decide whether he wants to continue on with his GM, who's been here for six seasons, has made a lot of good draft picks, but has had some indefensible whiffs in the last couple of years that have hurt this team. None bigger, as you mentioned, James, than the left tackle position this year. It has just completely hamstrung them. But also the regression of some other players has been notable. And 78 comes to mind. Ryan Kelly just hasn't been the same player.
Yeah.
But that's where the Colts are at. If you came here for a jolt of optimism, we don't have it. We got to keep it real with you guys. I think you know that. It would be a disservice to you guys, the fans, if we tried to sugarcoat what was going on with this team. We got a long way to go. Six games left. They're 4-6-1. Some good matchups, some good teams. The Colts will at least get to see some playoff teams down the line. Chargers will be fun at home. Dallas rolled yesterday. Minnesota's in the NFC playoff picture. But for James Boyd, I'm Zach Kiefer. The Colts are 4-6-1. We've got a little bit of a long holiday weekend. The Colts are next up Monday night against the Pittsburgh Steelers at Lucas Oil Stadium. This is 1% Better, and we will catch up with you guys next week.